Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Welcome back into Tom, Jake, and Stacy. ESPN's Adam Schefter reporting just under an hour ago that the Seattle Seahawks are one of the teams looking at Antonio Brown, who is eligible to return from suspension after week 8, so in just a couple weeks here. Do you want to see Antonio Brown in Seattle? That's the question we are asking you guys. Call in right now, 206-421-3776. I see a few calls right here. Before I get to you guys, don't go anywhere. We're going to once again just go over quickly where we stand on this. Tom, why don't you take it away first?
Yeah, I mean, this one, it's interesting because when we, over the summer, we were discussing the Quentin Dunbar case. We had a lot of evidence that was public in that case, even though it was kind of changing day to day there for a while. We heard the accusers talk. We heard the lawyers talk. I mean, there was actual evidence that we could put the pieces of the puzzle together ourselves and get, you know, reach some kind of conclusion. In this case, we have some accusations. We do know that he threw furniture out of a 14th story window in an apartment that almost hit and killed a 22-month-old toddler. Like, that's not cool. It's not cool that he was, I mean, that he's gone on all these Twitter rants saying, you know, F this and F that and blank the NFL. And, I mean, just completely just unfocused ranting at everyone and anything. I mean, even if the sexual misconduct isn't true and all of that is just fabricated, I'm still not sure I'm a fan of Antonio Brown based on the things we do know. I mean, the Seahawks may know all kinds of things that may clear his name legally, but other than that, I'm still not sure I'm a fan of this person. So I can sit here and say I don't want him on the team, mm-hmm. but like I said before, they're a private business. They can do whatever they want, and I'm not going to sit here and like be self-righteous about it and shame them. I just won't cheer them. That's
Jake?
All.
Well, I think in this situation, I keep coming back to the idea of Pete Carroll, Jody Allen, John Schneider, Russell Wilson. Three out of the four of those people I know. Not that I, you know, I like them and that I've, you know, come across them. I know those three people, John Schneider, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson in particular. And if they are looking at the situation and have done all the research and have, I am hoping that I can trust them in saying and determining that this, that they know stuff that we don't. And it's more positive for Antonio Brown in the sense that he's not guilty of the things that he has been accused of, first and foremost. And secondly, that when it comes to adding him to the team, that they feel like that he can contribute and that he is not going to be a distraction for this football team. And that if at any point he became a distraction, he would be gone. So with Antonio Brown knowing those things coming into the building, I put my trust and my faith in those three people that, again, I know. And you just hope that you, when you put your faith in those people like that, that it doesn't come back to bite you, that there isn't something that they missed. That's really the position that I believe that I'm in right now. And if they're able to make this work and they're able to make Antonio Brown fit into their culture and their standards, obviously I have no doubt that it would be wildly successful. But I understand why there is heavy controversy around Antonio Brown.
Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross here talking about the news from ESPN's Adam Schefter that the Seahawks are one of the teams pursuing Antonio Brown after his suspension is eligible to be lifted after week 8. We're going to go to the calls right now to hear what you guys have to say. Once again, that number is 206-421-3776. Let's go to Bill in Kirkland. Bill, should Antonio Brown sign with the Seahawks?
Well, like I said before, you know, as long as we equivocate for these idiots, they're going to continue to show up and play. These are just a bunch of 20-something-year-old children for the most part. It's a hope that their coaches and a few of these other staff members can get them to grow up. But as long as we keep equivocating, and you guys are as much guilty for this because we talk about it as if it's no big deal, but all I can say is Percy Harvin, okay? Percy Harvin. All right? Big boo-boo. You know, we don't need that on football team. And they certainly aren't people to look up to. So what's the point? The NFL needs to just shut down and say, look, if this is the way it is, we'll give you a contract. But if you're going to turn into a dingbat, you're done. That's it. There's no payback. There's no punitives. Nothing. If you do this and you bring shame on the game, shame on the team, you're finished. And that's the end of the discussion. And that's really where I'm at with it.
So in your mind, Bill, if you mess up once as a player, you're done. You're out.
Well, when it gets to the point where you're messing up to the point where the cops are involved and you're being investigated and indicted, come on. Really?
Yeah, but anybody, yeah, hold on a second, Bill. Look, hold on, hold on.
Any more leeway or chance than anybody in your neighborhood? No. But these guys are given all kinds of leeway and chances because why? Because they can catch a ball? Because they can throw a
ball? Bill, if somebody hurls accusations at me and I'm innocent, hopefully I don't lose my job. I mean, look, I don't know if Antonio Brown is innocent or not, but just because somebody throws an accusation at you, that doesn't mean you should lose your livelihood right there.
Boy, that's funny. That's funny, because if you look at the way things are going right now, that's exactly what can happen.
Bill, I agree with you, okay?
And then they're out of a job. But, the point is the NFL, obviously the NFL and the head office of the NFL said, this isn't good, you're on suspension. And so my thing is, hey, if it's good enough for the NFL to say you're on suspension, there's something to it.
Bill, all I can say is that I got in trouble about a month ago, okay, for something I did on the air, and I was almost fired, and I went on a rant about how I don't feel like that should be the case. All right, so, I mean, you and I are kind of in the same boat there, but... And I agree, Antonio Brown is not exactly a role model, but if they can't prove that he did anything wrong and the Seahawks know this, then what can I say? I'm just a private citizen. Pot him down, please. Thank you.
All right, let's go to our next caller, Richard in SeaTac. First of all, Richard, shout out to SeaTac, my hometown. Should the Seahawks sign Antonio Brown?
I'm going to go with a yes, and I'm going to lean forward with pretty much everything Jake was saying. All on Russell and Pete's judgment when it comes to Antonio Brown. And I want to touch on what that last caller was saying, because sometimes you do need a Percy Harvin on your team. I mean, he put Golden Tate in a trash can, and we still won the Super Bowl. So I don't really have a problem with Antonio Brown coming onto this team, as long as Pete and Russ trust that they're going to be able to keep him, all contained. And even if worst case scenario comes to worst, he's just going to be here for a little bit, makes a couple plays, and then you get rid of him if he doesn't mesh with the team well. Is what it is.
Yeah, it's really a very straight up situation, right? The team is not gonna allow him to have the wiggle room to not show up for meetings, to not to be a distraction in the locker room, to go and do outrageous things. I think that's going to be very, very clear from the very beginning if he was to be signed with the Seahawks, and it's really a matter of as. The other caller was on, with Bill, there's a difference between somebody who's been accused of something and is guilty of versus somebody who is a little bit on the edge. There's been plenty of guys that everybody in this town has cheered for during the Legion of Boom time who were on the edge, who played on the edge, who lived life on the edge, and you didn't know about it. And as this last caller articulated, Percy Harvin, we didn't even know about the fight that happened between him and Golden Tate. They end up winning. Like, sometimes there's dysfunction that happens in the locker room. And I'm not saying that Antonio Brown, if he brings that, should be allowed to stay on. I'm saying that there's going to be a very clear-cut expectation for him if he walked into the building.
All right, let's go to Donovan in Renton. Donovan, should the Seahawks sign Antonio Brown?
Hi, guys. Love the show.
Oh, thanks, Donovan.
I'm going to side with Tom here. Listen, Russell Wilson's already leading the league in passing touchdowns. We're going to get a healthy Philip Dorsett back here pretty soon. We already have a contract with Gordon when he's reinstated. I mean, we have a plethora of weapons. There's no reason to bring him in here. And I mean, kind of touching on what you said, Stacey, you guys know Russell Wilson personally. Maybe a more direct question would be, would Wilson invite AB into his home, you know, with his wife and his kids? I mean, I can see they both want to win. That's kind of what they bonded over. But I mean, I just don't feel good about AB in that locker room.
Well, to answer that question, Russell did have him over at his house. They worked out in the offseason. If you can recall, it was all over social media. Had him to the house. They worked out. They spent some time together. This, that, and the other. And so, you know, I definitely understand where you're coming from. No doubt.
Can I ask Jake a question about Russell? And if you don't think you know him well enough to answer this, it's fine. But just knowing what I know about Russell, just the type of person he is it fair to say that he's, I mean, he's a man of faith, right? That's
yeah.
Accurate. Okay.
Yes.
Do you think that he is overly forgiving of people, and maybe in part because of that, like his faith maybe directs him to look more at the good than the bad?
Possibly that, and possibly the idea of that people deserve second chances, or that, you know, surrounded with the right people or the right situation, that that he can turn things around. Little background. I mean, Russell has been in communication with Antonio Brown, has been around him, has worked out with him, you know, 10 to 20 times, not this offseason, but just off seasons in general. So this isn't, you know, somebody that he doesn't know. So I think from that standpoint, Tom, I think it is, you could say that. But in terms of this circumstance, I'm not exactly sure where his mindset is with Antonio Brown. Other than what the cut I played for you earlier.
Right. No, that, I get it.
He's a fantastic receiver, one of the game's best, and in a very difficult league. And as you're trying to win Super Bowls, he can help.
Going to Lynn in Seattle. Yeah. Lynn, should the Seahawks sign Antonio Brown?
Absolutely not. I'm a woman. I'm a fan of the Seahawks. I do have a problem with some of Antonio Brown's issues involve, like, women and mistreating of women. I think you have to weigh that really carefully. I haven't been against, Frank Clark, you know, that turned out okay, you know. But with Antonio Brown, on top of the way that, whether it's rumor or fact of treatment of women, is that he's a diva, you know. He's not a team. I don't think he's a team player. And also, I don't think we need him in the receiver room. There is only so much ball to go around. Lockett and Metcalf are really good as a number one and number two. I think David Moore is holding out well as a impact third receiver. And I want to see them develop Freddie Swain more. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Swain shows a lot of promise. And I just don't think he'd be good for the receiving room.
Great call, Lynn. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love this call, Lynn. Thank you. And I think that this is a great question and a great point to make in terms of outlining why do you add this player when you're scoring? You're the number one offense in the league in terms of points per game. Your weaponry is fantastic. I think that you look at why they would do this. It again comes to the idea that is David Moore on the same level as Antonio Brown? The answer is no. As he's made good plays, he's been a good player for this organization, and he will still be a part of the offense. But Antonio Brown significantly upgrades you at that position. In terms of the leadership, Antonio Brown is not going to come in here and flip the locker room culture upside down. If you think he would have that much control, then you have a complete lack of faith and trust in Pete Carroll, in Russell Wilson, Bobby Wagner, and within that receiver group, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. From what we know of DK, he's not going to back down to anybody. So I think that this is very much very much to Josh Gordon, that this is you're going to either fit in or you're going to get out. We're going to show you the door. And that is what Antonio Brown is going to have to do if indeed he becomes a Seahawk.
Yeah, I liked Lynn's call. I think, too, this isn't disagreeing with Lynn. She just made me think about this. As a woman, obviously, myself, I think it's something I clearly feel strongly about. I'm still figuring out how I feel about Antonio Brown. I think that's why I'm kind of going back and forth here. I try to be a very fair person, a very not just person. I really, really try to understand sides to a story. I, on the same hand, have very little tolerance for sexual assault, sexual harassment, anything like that. I've seen some texts saying, hey, Stacey, you know, what about this? And I always notice that whenever it's anything to do with sexual assault, someone usually calls me out. And I think on the one hand, people want to say, hey, let's hear from a woman on this. It's important to hear female voices. That I agree with. But the onus is not on women to take charge here and to have to be the ones condemning sexual assault. It should be on men and women to say it's not okay. So, side note that Lynn made me think of. Corey in Puyallup, do you want to see the Seattle Seahawks sign Antonio Brown?
How you guys doing? Why is nobody talking about the on-field issues? He's had multiple, every team he's on, he complains like every game about his receptions. I mean, what's Russ going to do? Throw the ball 50 times to Antonio Brown and 5 to DK and 1 to Lockett? I mean, I don't know. I mean, even if the guy doesn't have any off-field issue on off-field, he still has on-field, which he complains every game, which I can't see Russ either being like, dude, shut up, basically. So, I mean, I just think it's unwanted. I mean, do we really need that kind of drama? We're already got the whole station talking about it for since 10 o'clock, probably, since it's dropped. I mean, it's already bringing...
I think that's what Jake is talking about when they say that, like, Pete and them will have zero tolerance.
Thanks, Corey.
Right, because, you know, what did he get targeted, like, 17 times by Roethlisberger one game, and he still complained about it? I mean, I think that did
right.
happen.
Yeah,
but when you're saying zero tolerance, that's what you mean, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Corey, the reason why we haven't talked about it is because there's other issues, off-the-field issues, that we've been more focused on than we have the on-field issues. There's no question. There's no question that there is on-field issues as well, and it's been documented with Antonio Brown through this circumstance. And I don't think that the Seahawks and any one of those decision-makers with the organization don't understand that or don't see that. So, yes, there will be a no-tolerance policy with him if he came in the door. And I think that part of it is extremely important as you look at this addition potentially for them. They feel like this could be a high-risk or high-reward, low-risk move for them. Things don't work out, and that's clearly the point. They will get rid of him in a second. They will not be contractually obligated to pay him any money, and Antonio Brown will know that when he walks in the door. If he can fit in, if he can, you know, toe the line with what the Seahawks are asking him to do, and he is performing well, then obviously from a team perspective, they feel like it's worth this, you know, the risk reward. They are potentially evaluating and saying, we want to try and see what we can do here, much like what they did with Josh Gordon. Not evaluating. I want to make it very clear for the texters, because apparently they're not listening to me. I'm not comparing Josh Gordon's situation to Antonio Brown's situation. I'm saying that they both, Josh Gordon last year, walked in with a no-tolerance policy. Antonio Brown would walk in the door with a no-tolerance policy in terms of any missteps as a member of the Seahawks.
Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost here talking about a report from ESPN's Adam Schefter that the Seattle Seahawks are one of the teams looking to potentially sign wide receiver Antonio Brown, currently suspended, eligible to return, though, after Week 8. We've been taking your calls. We're going to keep this going. We've got a little bit more time to have one or two more here, though, for right now. So don't go anywhere if you're still on the line. Hang on there. Let's get to one more here. Let's get to Marcus and Duval. Marcus, should the Seattle Seahawks sign Antonio Brown?
No, it's a lose situation. I'll tell you why. Number one, we are not hurting at receiver. Are we going to make him number one, DK number two, and Tyler number three? Bad idea. Number two, this guy was dumped by two of the most stable organizations in football, being the Steelers and the Patriots. he has emotional, psychological issues that are counterproductive, not just to the culture we have, but just to him being a quality player on the team. And number three, would I want us to pick up Patrick Mahomes when we have Russell Wilson? No, it's a waste of time. We don't need more receivers. I want you guys to know it's starting to snow here in Monroe.
Oh, wow.
Is it really?
Anyway, thanks for taking my call. I'll see you guys on the air.
Thanks, Marcus. All right, Tom, I'm going to let you go first here.
I've got nothing but sunshine up here in Lake Forest. Oh, I wouldn't say nothing.
Same here,
clouds,
down in UP.
I'm looking at the sun up here. Huh. Interesting. You know, the point that Marcus made there, I mean, I agree with everything he's saying. I guess where I differ is it's the Seahawks' decision as an organization. If they want to put themselves through that, let them. You know, if AB is still unstable, but they're under the impression that he's not, and they're making this mistake, and he's going to do all these awful things to them, you know, in the locker room, let them make that mistake, honestly. Because they're right. The callers are right. There's no reason to make this move, I don't think. I disagree that they need this wide receiver. Okay, but if they feel like it's that important where it's worth this kind of risk and it's going to come back to bite them, let them make the mistake. Go ahead. Fine.
All right. If you're on the line, don't go anywhere. I'm going to take one more here right before we take a very quick break. Then we're going to come back. So do not go anywhere. Pat in Nevada. Pat, should the Seahawks sign Antonio Brown?
Okay, I'm hearing a lot of fans and very few coaches. So the only coach I know, I'm a coach. And Jake, I know you do some coaching as well, right?
That's correct.
Okay, here's the problem, people. This guy is going to play for somebody. He's going to play for a team. He's an unbelievable talent. And I was just listening to another report where they're talking about the best three receivers by far in the NFL being on the same team with Russell Wilson. They said there were the words like unstoppable, the offense going through three different receivers that are absolutely top-notch. How do you stop that? I don't understand. I get the fan resentment for the character, but the player on the field will be incredible. You have to sign this guy if he's available and an option. Play the downside if there is a downside. I don't think there's going to be with Pete Carroll. And I also believe that the team culture is going to take over. I do understand the Percy Harvin kind of comparison. But guess what we did with Percy Harvin? He ran back a touchdown in the Super Bowl. We won. I don't see the downside. And as a coach, if you saw a player out there on that was eligible, and I get the character issues, but this is the problem, people. He's available to 32 teams in the NFL. Why can't we be one of them? He's done his due. They've done the investigation. Play ball.
All right. Pat playing devil's advocate here with Antonio Brown. Very interesting. Making things interesting, Pat. We're going to discuss Pat's response. Also, Ben, Devin, Riley, I see all of you guys on here. Should the Seahawks sign Antonio Brown? 206-421-3776. We'll keep taking your calls next. First, though, let's get to What's on Tap.
This is What's on Tap with Tom, Jake, and Stacey. Brought to you by Dietz and Watson. So, folks, what's on tap?
Game 2 of the World Series, Dodgers versus Rays. That's tonight starting at 5 p.m. right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. We'll get back to your calls next on Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
ESPN's Adam Schefter says the Seattle Seahawks are one of the many teams looking at Antonio Brown. Now, who knows if this is legit? Pete Carroll was a little cagey about it, said, you know, yeah, they're always looking at this kind of stuff. They're always investigating. Wouldn't really commit to it. There's been rumblings, rumors that Russell Wilson is in favor of this signing. Geno Smith, who's a friend of Antonio Brown's, that Antonio Brown has worked out with this team before or players on this offense before in the offseason. So there's been some links there for a while. So whether or not this is just some report that's coming from, I don't know, Antonio Brown's camp, there's legs to it, which is why people are getting very, very curious and honestly pretty passionate about whether or not they want to see Antonio Brown in Seattle. That's what we've been asking you guys. That's what the three of us have been talking about. So we're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to go Ronnie in Seattle. Ronnie, do you want to see Antonio Brown with the Seahawks?
I think it'd be a good idea. He's an all-time great, first off, and you can never have too much offense. And worst case scenario, you know, we just release him, you know, if he does anything bad.
Thanks, Ronnie.
Hey, you know, one point that nobody's brought up yet, I don't think, is that how do we know that the second he steps on the field, he's going to be the same guy?
We don't know that.
Yeah, right. we have no idea. We have no idea, other okay. than the fact
But that would be a natural concern, right?
Of course it would be a natural concern. But also, you think that why did Russell Wilson bring Antonio Brown to work out, to evaluate him, to throw with him, to see if he's lost a step? And I've seen the clips of that workout, and he hasn't. Not just the, you know, what's been on social media, but that entire workout. And
but didn't I hear the same thing about Brandon Marshall a few years ago or whoever else?
Yeah, but Brandon was on the tail end of his career. I mean, he lost the speed. He had lost, you know, he had lost that aspect of his game. Whereas Antonio, I don't think that's where he's at this point. But to your point, Tom, he could be. But he could
I'm not telling you that I know differently, believe me. I'm just saying, guy gets away from the game sometimes. You get a little rusty, you don't get it back, that's all.
All right, going to John in Olympia. Tarek, I want you to be hovering over the dumb button because John on here sounds a little bit fired up based on what I'm reading. John, do you want to see Antonio Brown with the Seahawks?
I'll clean it up for you. I would say H-E double hockey stick, no.
Thank you, John.
we would be better off waiting for the collective minds of the NFL to get their heads out of the south end of a North Mountain and wait for Josh Gordon.
John, thank you for keeping it PG for radio. We appreciate it.
But here's the thing, John. Everybody out there that's still wondering about Josh Gordon, I firmly believe at this point in time, I could be wrong, he could be reinstated next week, but I don't think that's the case. I think that you're seeing at a point the NFL, for the other things that they have done wrong in the past that they've done, or the gripes that you may have with them, the one thing that is clear is someone that has addiction issues, they do not make those issues public outside of if they are on the team and they test positive. When guys are trying to get back into, they are trying to get reinstated or things of that nature. Even when they do test positive, they don't tell you what exactly they have tested for. So to me, I look at this and say that Josh Gordon at this point in time has not done enough for the NFL to feel confident reinstating him, and that concerns me.
We're going to Devin in Covington. Devin, should the Seahawks sign Antonio Brown?
Yes, I think they should sign him. From the Adam Shepherd report, they said he's going to be reinstated after week 9, so you ain't got to deal with him for the whole season. You only got to deal with him a few games, which they dealt with Percy Howerton, who was injured for most of that season when they won the Super Bowl. So I think that it's a good signing.
All right. Thanks, Devin. Devin says, hey, he's not here for a whole season, so go for it. Tom, what do you think?
You know, I was just wondering if I keep getting hung up on this thing about the Seahawks investigating the situation, like Schneider and Pete and Russ, like these three sleuths, you know, like figuring out what did or didn't happen with Antonio Brown off the field and these sexual allegations. Like, are they ever going to come forward and say what they know and what they don't? Because you know that naturally, if they sign him, they're going to get all kinds of questions like, how could you sign this guy? What kind of message does that send to women or children or whatever else? So will they explain themselves? Will they say, hey, we know what the deal is, and explain why? Or will they just sort of gloss past it? I wonder.
No, they won't get into the details, but they will say, I can pretty much tell you what he's going to say. They have done their research. They have been, you know, that John has been on this from the very beginning, that they've done their due diligence. And they, you know, after their findings, this is the conclusion that they've come to. I mean, I think that's really all they can say at that point.
Going to Ben in Seattle. Ben, should the Seahawks sign Antonio Brown?
Yeah, thanks, Stacey. I don't think so. Look, you guys have made a lot of good points, and callers have too, about this really, really serious allegations of off the field, you know, nature. Corey mentioned on the field issues, complaining about targets. But let me just remind you about another chapter in his on the field in this saga of Antonio Brown. And he was traded from the Steelers to the Raiders. Do you guys remember that? He didn't show up, and he had the issue with the cryo and, you know, wearing his socks in the cryo machine. And then he had the issue with the helmet. And, I mean, he was making up every single excuse he could to not be on the field. And that's just bad. Like, we don't want somebody like that on the team. You know, culture can spread in really subtle ways on a team and in a locker room. And you can say that, you know, there's a short leash and all that, but what happens when we sign him, he shows some ability, he has a couple
Ben, can you re-say just the last 2 seconds of what you were going to say?
I was just going to say, you know, what happens when he has a couple of good games and, you know, things are going good and we start to need him, and then, you know, he makes, you know, a comment here and there which, you know, affects one of the younger guys or one of the other receivers. Culture can be pervasive in a locker room, and I just don't think it's worth it. I get there's a risk and a reward, and if this guy was a defensive end that had, you know, Joey Bosa talent in an area where we, you know, have a serious need, maybe, you know, but, like, we've got a ton of depth. You know, we've got a ton of weapons, receivers, tight ends, running backs for Russ to throw to. It just doesn't,
so let me
add up to me.
I like what Ben was saying there, and let me walk everybody down this road, because Antonio Brown is not going to have the ability to infect this culture, infect this locker room, infect DK Metcalf or any of these other guys, because Antonio Brown is going to be the odd man out here. If he messes up, if he goes astray, if he says or does the wrong thing, he's gone, not anybody else. So, you know, to Ben's point, if he you know, helps them out in a couple games and he messes up a couple games later, they're not going to rely on him because they're not going to particularly game plan for him. Similarly to the way they handled Josh Gordon last year. Everybody was frustrated. Well, they need to, you know, get Josh Gordon involved more. Well, the reason why they didn't, they just let the game go to itself, and that's the way that they're treating Antonio Brown. If Antonio Brown gets a one-on-one matchup on the outside, then Russ has the opportunity to go to him. If not, then he's not going to get the ball. Now, can he handle that? We don't know. And if he can't, then guess what? He won't be on the team very long. So I think that's a very much a simple answer to that question.
Good point by Ben. Good point by Jake. All right, you guys, thank you so much for joining our conversations. For anyone we didn't get to, you guys, I'm so sorry. We had a lot of calls. We tried to rush through them, but thank you so much for hanging on. Thank you for listening also. We really, really appreciate it. We sum it up next.
But wait, it's over. They're going away, baby.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Shot clock turned off.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports.
Step back!
I want to see how you guys feel about the following bit of roster information for the Seattle Seahawks. The Seattle Seahawks, well, a couple things you need to know. Snacks Harrison now listed at 59. Leno Hill moved to IR. Blah, blah, blah. There's some stuff here. Okay. Cool. This is what I really need you to know. The Seahawks, this from Seattle Times' Bob Condotta, are now listing rookie tight end / wide receiver Stephon Sullivan, who they traded back in to take in the 7th round this year, as tight end and defensive end. You wanted more bodies on that defensive line, Seahawks fans? You got it!
Tom Cable must be back.
It's not even moving a guard to a tackle or a center now. It's just moving a tight end to a defensive end. No one's saying it is impossible, Jake. He's
man.
He's a big dude. He's got hands.
He is a big dude. He's fast. I'm interested in hearing an explanation as to what they saw from him. Like, I wonder if he was just messing around, you know, being a practice squad guy, trying to help out the defense, you know, give, you know, maybe he was just giving looks from a defensive standpoint, and he just looked really good coming off the edge in practice as a scout team player. And maybe Pete was like, oh man, maybe this guy could play some defensive end. I don't know. But, I don't know if I necessarily like seeing that. He's already a project at tight end, and anytime you're kind of in this dual role of playing maybe both sides of the ball and experimenting, that just, I don't know. There's just something about that. This doesn't, I don't love that.
Here's what's tired. Making a move ahead of the November 3rd NFL trade deadline to acquire help at defensive end. Here's what's wired. Moving your rookie tight end to defensive end. Tom, agree or disagree? Think outside the box. Think with your third eye.
Is that where we are already?
Yeah.
Like, we have to think outside the box here?
Heck yeah.
That far outside the box?
Heck yeah.
I don't know.
I like Stephon Sullivan. I'm not even mad at this move because could it get worse? Could the defense, 32nd ranked pass defense, get worse? Literally, as far as ranking goes, you cannot. So why not?
When they drafted him, did we ever hear anything about this?
No, I'm trying to think.
This is totally out of the blue.
Well, I'm trying to think if maybe he played at defensive end when you're younger. I feel like most kids, when you're in high school football, if you're big, you play like several positions because you're just a big kid. But I know he was a wide receiver with LSU until he was transitioned to a tight end in his final season.
At one point, about, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, the Mariners went through this thing where they had all these infielders, and so they had this guy named Nick Franklin, and they had to move him to the outfield, and everybody started asking the GM, Jack Cerenzik, like, well, can he play outfield? It's like, oh, yeah, he played some in high school. It's like, at that point, we were like, this is not going according to plan at all. Like, this is where we are.
Okay. And I just hope it's not one of those situations, but definitely an interesting one, and one that I'm curious to find out more about.
Hey, by the way, the Schefter report about Antonio Brown, it named the Seahawks as the front runner. I wonder what that's based on. Is that they're just making more calls about him than other teams? And so, like, in aggregate, Schefter was able to determine, that
the implication is that they are the front runner. I don't know that he officially says Seahawks are the front runner. He just says, look, the Seattle Seahawks are positioned to make a push to sign him, but now they're not alone. So that's according to his league sources. So it is implied that the Seahawks were the front runner or were potentially the only team really seriously looking at this, and now there are other teams that are part of the conversation. And the other part of that story is, hey, by the way, it's we're heading into week 6 and he's eligible to return to the league in 2 weeks, so now you're jumping back into this conversation. So that's why this is news again, in case anyone's
can we
wondering.
Just make AB a corner?
It's a good question. How about a defensive end? Why not?
What the heck? He can chase down receivers, can he?
I mean, he's certainly fast enough to. He's still got the speed to do it. So maybe. I mean, if they could do the Stephon Sullivan situation and turn him around and play defense, that certainly would be fascinating. I think more people would be apt to accept him on the team if he was playing defense. It's an interesting situation as you look at this because I wonder how. Like, what is the timeline here? Right? How cranked up is this conversation going to be for the Seahawks and for other organizations around the NFL? Is this something that, you know, conversations are going on right now in terms of signing Antonio Brown? Or is this going to be something that, hey, you're going to find out and once he is cleared from his suspension officially? I have the feeling that it'll be sooner than that, but that's the part that will be really, I'll be very curious about is how heated will this conversation around Antonio Brown be for not just the Seahawks, but other teams around the NFL?
There won't be any fans there to boo him.
Do you think fans would boo him?
Well, there'll be some. There'll be some.
Not here, though.
No, not here.
In Arizona.
Not here.
I mean, he won't
right.
Be playing,
I guess you go on the road. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Talked to start our show, and coincidentally it's kind of come full circle about whether or not Pete Carroll had his hand forced a bit when it comes to the change in offensive philosophy. The biggest rumors Seattle has been linked to have also been on offense still. The idea of Josh Gordon, who they already did sign, though he's not on the active roster. The idea of Josh Gordon potentially coming back to this team, now being linked once again in a kind of refreshed news to Antonio Brown. I mean, these moves continue to come on offense. Do you think that the idea here that you're looking at if you're a Seahawks fan is, I mean, lean into the offense because I have little faith your defense can become a top 10 defense?
I mean, it does kind of come back full circle, Stacey, because as Tom was saying, if that's truly your belief, that also can explain why you're interested in this potential move. Because if you feel like this is the way you're going to have to win, this is the only option to be able to win is to have a high-powered, high-explosive offense that can consistently put 30-plus points on the board, you can see why you could potentially be interested in signing somebody like Antonio Brown. I think that part of it comes full circle into this conversation. That's a great point.
All right. Once again, it's Game 2 of the World Series tonight at 5 p.m. Dodgers vs. Rays right here on 710 ESPN Seattle. But first, you're going to have Bob, Dave, and Moore coming up next. Thanks so much for listening to us today. This has been Tom, Jake, and Stacey on 710 ESPN Seattle.